I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now. I've got a stomach pain that's low, fungus on my toe, and I need you now.
You don't want that toe fungus.
He's from Central DuPage Hospital.
And Northwestern Medicine.
Call Dr. Moose right now.
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. And that really is the topic as Doc joins us. Good morning, Doc.
Good morning, Steve. How are you doing?
Doing all right. You know, this opioid, and I hope you are as well, the opioid story is unbelievably depressing. It's depressing to watch. It's depressing to hear about. And yet, as depressing as it is, the one thing you don't want to do is run from it. And I tell you, I'm a little optimistic this morning, not about politicians doing the right thing, but about the fact that, this thing is being covered at a level it hasn't been covered at ever. And awareness is good. This is what we need, more awareness, more on the problem. Now, you've been talking about this forever, so let's do a little history here. Because I know you've been talking about what doctors do, how you treat people that come in, what you need to do to do all that. But one thing we've really found out is opioids don't care, right? They don't care if you're rich or poor. They don't care where you live.
And that's probably one of the big awareness points that you're talking about, too, is, you know, people think they're listening. They're like, oh, yeah, that's an inner city problem. And we really have to realize that it is not. This is impacting kids in our high school. This is impacting just successful business people. This is impacting lots. And I'll tell you, one of the most saddest ones is probably how it's affecting newborns. You know, we have newborns in the NICU, NICUs, which is a neonatal intensive care unit, across this country that are being treated for withdrawal, that are being treated for addiction because their parents are addicted or their mother was addicted. So you can imagine a two-day-old and we're giving them morphine because they're addicted to opioids.
And the story this weekend about an 18-year-old and a 19-year-old grew up together, same neighborhood, nice cul-de-sac, nice homes, nice families. One's 18, I think one was 19. They died within 2 hours of each other, both of overdoses. It's just, it's outrageous. So how did we get here?
Yeah, you know, Steve, it's kind of interesting. When you look at the whole story of how we got here, it's some, you know, numerous books have been written about it. But, you know, in the early 2000s, late 1999, 2000, we said, and I'm not sure even who we was, is we're doing a terrible job of taking care of people in pain. And we need to make sure that we keep people pain-free. So we want pain to be what we call the fifth vital sign, your blood pressure, your pulse, your temperature, but also we want to make sure that these people are pain-free. So Big Pharma comes up and says, you know what, all right, this is perfect for us. We're going to get a drug that's going to make people pain-free, and we're going to tell them that it's not addicting. So all these people who have pain, and now you have this drug that's a morphine-based drug that's non-addicting. And the doctors say, oh, this is easy. Anybody can do this. We give them this non-addicting drug. Their pain goes away. Everyone's happy.
But was it non-addicting?
That's the problem. Not only was it not non-addicting, it's highly addicting. You know, it only takes a dose or two of these medications sometimes to get people on that addiction pattern. And unfortunately, we've continued to use these medications because pharma has not come out with other medications that are more appropriate. You know, you have somebody who had surgery and we're giving them Norco or OxyContin or Tylenol with codeine, something even as simple as that, for their pain. And then we say, oh, by the way, you know what? We're going to take these away and we want you to take some Advil.
That was my question to you, Doc. I've known two people in the past year who have had minor surgery. Everything's okay. But there's this fear now. Neither wanted. They were prescribed Norco. One was prescribed Norco, the other codeine. They didn't. Both didn't want to take them because they said, well, I don't want to get addicted. And I was saying, take the Norco, you know, just for a couple of days, you know, to ease the pain. So do you see people are kind of trying to suffer through pain rather than take a low-dose prescription of a Norco or a codeine for a short period of time?
Absolutely, Andre. I think that's exactly what's happening now, especially with this awareness issue. The more people are aware of it now, they're afraid of it. Now, believe me, there are patients that need pain medication. I am not saying stop all pain medication. We have patients with cancer that absolutely positively need it. We have patients who have surgery that if they don't take it, they're not going to get up and they're not going to move around and we're going to have more problems. So using it appropriately is one thing, but using it inappropriately and at large volumes for long periods of time is the patients that we're concerned about.
There is a preponderance of this in smaller, hardworking, blue-collar towns that seem to be, so many of them seem to be in Ohio and West Virginia. But don't think you're out of the woods here at Illinois and beyond, because what legal prescriptions have turned to the scourge of heroin and fentanyl. How did we get from this to that? What is fentanyl? And is that the greatest danger of anything we have in this country right now? Doc will tackle all that when we come back. Stand by. Dr. Kevin Moe, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. We're talking about the opioid crisis and the huge news that it appropriately is. But you talked about the, what'd you call it, Doc, the fifth level, the fifth?
Fifth vital sign.
The fifth vital sign.
Yep.
So we knew that prescriptions were up. We knew that overdoses were up. How did that get missed? And did we get to the next level? Well, now we're, you know, it's the gateway to heroin and fentanyl.
Yeah. It's not that it was missed. I mean, we know it. If you look at how many of these drugs were being manufactured and prescribed, and so we knew more people were getting addicted to it. It's how do you stop that tide now, and how do you get that back? And like you said, you know, now we're starting to see things on the street, because all you need is a few people addicted, and all of a sudden addiction spreads and spreads and spreads. And I'm not saying that physicians don't have a part in it. We have a large part in it. But unfortunately, what we're seeing on the street is even worse. You know, you get someone hooked on a Norco because they had surgery, and all of a sudden the surgeon says, well, no, you don't need any more Norco. Your surgery is completely healed. You don't need any more. And that person's still addicted. They're going to the street now, and that's where they're getting, like you were saying just earlier, that's where they're getting these pills that are Norco with fentanyl in them. And that's the scary part.
It's funny, because the same people that are in this desperate situation who would be very careful about what they eat and wouldn't take candy from a stranger on Halloween are going out and buying unregulated drugs, and they don't know what the composition of the drug is because they're that desperate and they could die, and many of them do. So explain to people what fentanyl is and why it's so bad.
Yeah. Well, fentanyl, and you guys may remember, we talked about fentanyl Prince died, because Prince died of an overdose of fentanyl. And fentanyl is an opioid. And let's put this in perspective. We all think heroin is terrible, right? And it's very dangerous. Fentanyl is 50 times stronger than heroin. The thing about fentanyl, we use it for surgeries all the time here, because from the IV use, it has a very rapid onset. So you take fentanyl, within 5 minutes you have that high. The nice thing about it from a hospital point of view and a medical point of view, it has a short duration. So it has a 30 to 40 minute duration, and then it's gone. But for the abuser on the street and the guys that are selling it, they're selling it saying, hey, you're going to get the high quicker. So we're going to give you this fentanyl with this Norco. We're going to lace them together. You're going to get this high. And then by the time the Norco kicks in, you're going to even have a better high. So it's very, very difficult. And these are the ones where it's that strong and you don't know what it is, and you're buying it on the street, you're overdosing very easily.
Here's the multimillion dollar question, though, Doc. How is it getting from the hospital where it's being used properly onto the streets where it's almost, I don't want to say readily available, but it's out there?
Absolutely. And it's not coming from the hospitals. Some of it's not even coming from drug manufacturers. This is being illicitly made. And unfortunately, if you listen to Trump, they feel that the vast majority of this is coming in from China. So it's a distribution process of drug dealers and drug sellers that are getting this out there and then repositioning it in the communities. So it's not like it's being stolen from the hospitals. I'll tell you, hospitals and pain clinics have extremely tight diversion monitoring. I mean, we want to know where every single vial of every single drug went. And if you don't have an answer for it, we sit down and we go through the case. We go through it with the doctor. We go through it with the nurse. So it's very tight in the hospitals.
Yeah, there's tremendous health concerns. There's also tremendous liability for the hospitals. They know where every pill is. Now you got people who are getting prescriptions who are selling them and turn on the street for how much?
Oh, big money. You know, there's parts of the country where, you know, these pills are going for 20, 15, 20, 25 bucks. So you think about that. The person, and the 60 Minutes was a great example of it. Here they had this town, this county in West Virginia that was getting 11 million opioid prescriptions. 11 million opioid pills, right? And if you did the math, they had 25,000 people living in the county. That was enough for every single person in the county to get 36 pills every month.
It's unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Those are the pills that are hitting the streets.
The DEA, speaking of 60 Minutes, the DEA was featured with having their resources taken away by a bill in Congress related to drug distribution restrictions, so that these pharmacies who are getting these huge amounts of pills could still get these huge amounts of pills. This is a congressional problem again, like everything else.
It absolutely is. You know, the DEA, don't tie their hands. The DEA essentially could have gone to this county in West Virginia and said, hold on, we're holding your prescription. We're holding this order because this does not make sense. So we are not going to put those drugs out on the street. There is no way every single person in your county needs this. The senators, unfortunately, said, hold on a second. There are people who have legitimate pain, and therefore you cannot stop that. You must go ahead and deliver those drugs, and you have to figure out a different way to slow this down and to change it. So the DEA gets their hands tied and saying, wait a second, we're taking areas of the country with high overdoses, areas of the country with these unusually high prescriptions, and we want to get to the brunt of it to stop it from getting to the patient in the first place. And they said, no, I'm sorry, we have patients with pain that we need to make sure that they are covered, which there are legitimate patients with pain. But I can tell you, in that county of 25,000, they did not need 11 million opioid pills.
Parents are listening, grandparents are listening, they got kids they're concerned about that are headed down this kind of path. What do they do?
Yeah, you know, there's obviously treatment options, but unfortunately there aren't enough treatment options. And I can tell you, especially for the parent that knows their child has a problem, get at least some Narcan in your home. That's the drug that can prevent overdoses. That's the drug that can be given quickly and keep a child and keep an individual alive. And in Illinois, you can buy Narcan without a prescription. Those are for the patients where I know my son has a problem. I know my daughter has a problem. I know my wife or spouse has a problem, but I can't get them into treatment yet. They're not at that point. At least have something to protect them. And those that don't.
And you can buy it at Walgreens now, right?
Correct. Yep. But the biggest thing is we need more treatment centers, and unfortunately, the funding is not there behind it, and it's difficult. You know, the treatment centers now are filled with patients that have insurance. So when you have patients that don't have insurance, I'm sorry, we don't have a spot for you because we have patients with insurance. That's the difficulty, and that's the problem that we have.
20,000 lives a year taken. Doc made a point when I talked to him about this. Said, look, if we had an infectious disease problem in this country and 20,000 people dropped dead, you wouldn't leave your house. Yeah. So the attention that's on this is appropriate. Great information, Doc, as always. Thank you for it. Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better.